of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right. Good morning, church. Today, a very special time, as you'll get to hear from the missionaries. So if you guys would, make your way up. I want to give you a little bit of backstory so that you kind of know what's been going on. One of the things that I am so encouraged by, and I try to remind us of this often, is God kind of has this thing rigged, right? He has a plan and is always at work, and we can trust Him in that. That's why when He leads us to do something, we can do it with the greatest of confidence that He will even use someone flawed or weak like us to do His eternal work. He has it rigged. And God has been at work in Suriname for many years. There was about 90 years ago, there was a guy, he was a voodoo witch doctor, and God came and spoke to him one day and told him to throw all of his witch doctor things into the river, and so he did. His village thought that he was crazy, so they kicked him out. And he went downriver and started his own village, and his family began to teach them and share with them and prepare them. And God ultimately told him that one day there would be a man with a black book who would tell them more about Jesus. And so that man came. He was a missionary from Oklahoma, actually. His name's James Cooper. He went to this village, and he heard this story about this voodoo witch doctor who had already since died, but he says, "Wow, that is my God." And they said, "We've been waiting on you for 60 years to tell us more about Jesus." And so he's been able to since disciple them and encourage them. The village that this happened in is a village called Futanakaba. It literally means, in their language, that the feet that brought you here will also bring you back. In other words, the love that you experience in this village, you will want to come back. And they've seen that happen over and over. But as they begin to start to spread the gospel, they were met with persecution. Many of them still alive that live in their village, you can see scars of where they were beat, sometimes even almost to death. But yet, they continued to go and serve. One of the very first believers was a man named Brother Staley. Staley was from a different village, a village called New Aurora. It is the village that we went into this week and got to go into two different schools in New Aurora and share the gospel. Once this man gave his life to the Lord way back in 1982, he was only met with persecution. So today, we're going to brother, but also share about our trip and the things that we experienced. And so, super excited as you hear from our team. We don't have near as long.
Good morning, family.
We don't have
as long. So, as I was walking in this morning, a friend of mine commented to me that they appreciated the outfit I was in. And of course, I asked if it was slimming or made me look taller, but the answer was a resounding no. So, I guess I'll. It is what it is. But, y'all, can we just take a second and be thankful for our church? As Janae was speaking and spending time around Brother Chad, it just becomes clear to me more and more how special this place is. And it's because of the commitment to Christ and the truth, right? So if you all get a chance, shake Chad's hand. I'll tell you, as we were working through this last week, nobody outworked Chad. And I've been on a trip with him before, and that's true all the time. So no, I know he doesn't want any glory, and I'm not saying that, but just thank him for being committed to Christ and to his mission. So we can fall in line with his teachings. So anyway, as he mentioned, we stayed in a village called Nazare. It's spelled Nazareth, similar to Jesus of Nazareth. I think there was around 40 to 50 villagers who lived there. To get there, we took a four-hour car ride from Paramaribo and then another three-hour boat ride up into the river to get to the little village. So it was very remote. A few of the things that kind of stick out about the place, it was obviously there wasn't a lot of modern conveniences. Everybody had cell phones. Everybody had a smartphone, which is interesting. But we were bathing in the river and washing our clothes in the river and always keeping an eye out for jaguars, which we fortunately didn't run into any of those. But as Chad mentioned, the pastor over this village right now, his name is Kephas, and Kephas was the son of Brother Staley, who he had made mention of, who was the first Christian outside of Fukunawa in 1982, about 40 years ago. And after being beaten and for sharing the gospel, nearly beaten to death three times, he was banished to the city of Paramaribo. But after about 5 years, God told him he needed to go back. So as he returned and his family saw that he wasn't going anywhere, they banished him to this village or to this hill country where we were at, this Nazare. The reason they sent him there is because it was known as a place of evil spirits. Historically, anybody who was sent to this place didn't come back. But as only God can do, when light is in a dark place, the darkness has to leave. So as Brother Staley went to this place and began to make a life at this location, it became a place of Christ. And in this village, it is 100% Christian, right in the middle of a bunch of voodoo villages. So there's life in this place. We got to see the manifestation as we built this church building that you're seeing here of a long journey, Christ planting seeds through the years. This was a village that had been thinking of this church, and as we built this, it was the manifestation of a vision that Brother Staley had, that he said at one point that he had a vision that there'd be a church in this community, and here it is. So we got to be a part of that. All glory to God, but it was just something else to be part of. As far as my own personal takeaways from this trip, when we got to Suriname, what struck me was how different the culture was. Of course, being an entire continent away, everything was different. Clothing, culture, you know, work ethics, just the way things are done, the food, everything was completely different. So you can kind of start to think to yourself, well, if it's so different, why, you know, do they have different gods? And the answer is they do. There is a large number of Hindu and Muslim population there. But when you start to talk to your brothers and sisters in Christ, you realize that what God is doing in Skiatook, he's doing in Suriname. He's doing in Honduras. He's doing in Guatemala. Everywhere God is at work. And just to be part of these people who are sold out to Christ and unabashed about forwarding his mission was inspiring. So, you know, the last thing, and then I'll turn it over, but at nighttime there, since there's no streetlights, obviously the sky is lit up with the stars. And I was just thinking one night as I was looking at those stars, how the same stars I'm looking at here in Oklahoma are the same stars that people in Suriname around the globe are looking at, and it's the same God whose mission is going forward forcefully, and the powers of the darkness will not withstand it. So be encouraged and take heart. It was a great trip, and it was very inspiring. You learn things about yourself, and just to realize that all that matters is Christ's mission. And so to be a part of that and to really just kind of come back to that was great. So thank you.
Good morning. When I first heard of the trip, I wanted to go. It sounded like an adventure. Then I learned that Chris and Charlie and Roy were going. Well, that's three of my friends. So it reinforced my thought of going. I can hang out with the guys and build a pole barn church in the middle of a jungle. Who wouldn't want to do that? Everybody would want to do that. But then doubts set in. I don't have a lot of vacation time with my work. I don't have just flush with money, although I did know that our church is very generous from a trip I went previous. And I'm an old guy and kind of crippled up. I was never the first pick on the team in school, but I'm okay with that. So doubts came in. Can I be of help while I'm there? Can I do the work that needs to be done? But Charlie likes to say, but God. So, but God allowed me to go. I spent time on the plane. There's a lot of travel time. It's a remote area. On the bus, on the boat, reading scripture more than I would read in a work-a-day world here. God gave me a new perspective while I was away. I appreciate my wife, Phyllis, in a better way than before. Scripture came alive to me while I was there this week. I would say find a trip that appeals to you. We're going to go. We're a going church. And then go. Go. God will honor your effort and your heart just as he has done throughout the centuries with the saints of old. God will accomplish his work. So thank you.
So I guess we're a little shorter on time, which I'm going to take that up, okay? So, no, I've been on a mission trip before to Honduras. That's been years ago. When this came up, just felt led by the Lord to go. It was possible. I'm retired now. I'm like Dave. I can't do exactly all that I used to do, but can still do some. When we got there, this shot of this little over lean-to, we could sit in, there was shade, drink water, rest for a minute. We had a meeting before we start breaking ground. Breaking ground mean post hole diggers digging holes or shovels to plant the posts. And somebody in that talked about building a temple of God. And I sat there and thought about it and thought, well, Solomon's temple. That God gave David the directions, Solomon built it. And it was a glorious, fabulous building. But I looked at what we built, and it's just as beautiful as that. It's God's house, okay? It's just as beautiful as Solomon's temple. The people that will come there, that we pray will draw, they're there to worship him. They're the church. Just like we have a very nice building here, we have the comfort of air conditioning, of heat in the winter, but it's just a building. You guys are that church. Your prayers, before, during, they were answered. Nobody was hurt. We had no issues. I got to meet Connor and Julia for the first time. But it was all a wonderful time. I could speak more, but it'll be fun visiting with you of what it was like. I enjoyed it so much because it's like growing up at home. It was on a river, I was on a creek. But anyway, thank you.
Good morning. My name is Julia. This was my first mission trip I've ever been on. And I was excited about it the whole time. I was looking forward to it. Didn't have any really legitimate concerns going into it. But Chad had warned us beforehand, when you go to a culture that is fear-based, you can be susceptible to that fear. The enemy will use that fear and plant doubts in your mind. And I was like, yeah, maybe that's true, but I'm good. So we get there, and the very first night, despite having a 20-hour trip and being exhausted, I couldn't sleep. I was just laying in bed, just fearful. I thought, I shouldn't have come on this trip. I'm going to be useless. I'm a woman. I'm not very strong. I was like, what am I going to contribute to this trip? And then I remembered what Chad said, and I was like, this is that. So prayed against it. I knew you guys were all praying for us, and the fear went away. I didn't deal with that one more time the whole trip, and I was so thankful for that. But along the lines of how God uses you when you're not necessarily physically equipped for the job, I had been given the idea from the Lord a few weeks before we left I'm a potter, and so I was given the idea to make a bunch of little pieces of pottery for the kids that we were told we would go visit. So I just started cranking away on it, made an arbitrary number of pots, which ended up being 68. And when we went to the schools, I was able to share with the kids about this pot. Just like the potter makes every single piece unique, I had gone to some effort to make every single piece a little different, different glaze. I said, just like that, you each are created unique and different and have special purpose and talents that God is using you for. And we had planned to give these pots to all the eighth grade kids and all the teachers. And in both schools we went to, it was the exact number of eighth grade students and teachers of the pots that I brought, 68 total. And I was like, isn't that just like God? Nothing is wasted. Along those same lines, Annika Black made a bunch of bracelets for us to give to the kids. And we just arbitrarily picked a class to give them to. And the exact number of bracelets was the exact number of kids in that class. So it's just, it was really cool to see that. But my main takeaway from the trip was just realizing God's long-term plans for the whole world, how he's been working in Suriname for not just 40 years, not just 100 years, but longer than that, and how we were just this little pawn, this little step in his plan to create the church. And the believers there were so excited. They were like, we've been waiting for this church. We were told 40 years ago that this church would be built, and we are so excited that God's fulfilling this plan for you guys being here. And it was just like, I hadn't even realized that, I hadn't thought about the fact that this has already been planned. The song we sang that we're fighting a battle he's already won. God had already won that whole issue. He had already planted the church, and we were just lucky enough to be able to build it. So, yeah, it was a great trip.
Hello, my name is Connor Raines, and Julia is my wife. And like her, this was also my first mission trip to go on. So I didn't really know what to expect so much, but I knew that the Lord would work in whatever capacity he had me to work in, right? So I'd have a little bit of experience building stuff, so I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll be of some use there. And I was eager for the witnessing, but that was the scariest part of it. I could build something just fine, and then I don't have to talk to anyone. That'd be great, you know? Like, that's kind of how we find ourselves, is we go to what's comfortable for us, and we're afraid of those things that are uncomfortable. But there was an opportunity to go to some of the schools and to witness to the children, and that was terrifying. When Chad said, we're going to go talk to kids, anyone want to go? I definitely considered saying, I'll stay behind, you know. Julie and I don't have any children yet. The idea of children, you know, is kind of scary to me because I never have to talk to them. And so going to talk to kids was kind of terrifying. No offense, children. It's not your fault. It's mine. it was pretty scary. And so I went. And something that I had been thinking of in my own study of Scripture leading up to this trip, and something that we kept running into over and over in our discussions during the trip, was the battle between light and darkness. And so Julia touched on the fear aspect, this voodoo culture, that they do whatever they can to appease the spirits, and they do it out of fear, hoping that their appeasing practices, whatever it is they do, will keep them secure for at least a time. And so we were talking about the light and the darkness, and I think that speaks to all of us here. All of us at some point have been afraid of the dark, and maybe some still are. And if we turned all the lights off now, and it was a completely dark room, there might be some fear here among some of us. And some of us might even be desperate for just a small light. And so we brought a whole bunch of glow sticks with us on this trip because the children there love glow sticks. It's just like a magic trick for them, and they play with them until they're even out of light. They're still playing with them. But I thought, you know, what a great opportunity to express how Jesus is the light of the world. In a culture that's completely bound by fear, they can cling to that little light. And so I asked Chad if I could talk to the kids about that, because I felt like that would be something that I could easily share with them, since the Lord had been working in my heart in that way. And so I did, and you probably saw a picture of me holding a glow stick up there. So that's the explanation of that, is I got to share with these kids in these different little groups that we had set up about how Jesus is the light of the world, and with Jesus we don't have to fear, and that that light that he brings destroys the darkness. In fact, a little test that you can do about the nature between light and dark, if you've never done it, if you're in a well-lit place and you light a match, the match will have a shadow, but the fire doesn't. Darkness cannot exist in the presence of light, and we are able to share that with these kids, and hopefully they'll cling to that next time they're fearful. They'll remember the name of Jesus Christ and remember that glow stick they had. And so it was really cool to see the kids respond to that and to honestly just enjoy those glow sticks. It's so much fun to watch them. But in addition to that, while at the schools, we got to meet some very practical needs. There was another church member from Oklahoma that went with us who was a nurse. So she got to teach CPR and general health standards and cleanliness standards to the teachers so that they would be more equipped to be with the children. We got to do a bunch of singing, as you probably saw in the videos and all that, a bunch of singing and dancing. And John, our guide, who's a local, he did an amazing job playing the guitar and singing with the kids and just singing gospel music. And quite a few kids have heard the name of Jesus, but it was great to see them enjoying the name of Jesus. And so with Julia's pottery, talking about how each one of them was unique, we got to send them with little tokens and reminders, these glow sticks to remind them of Jesus the light, these pottery pieces to remind them of their uniqueness. And then Chad got to speak to them as well and give a full gospel presentation to them. So with all of that together, it became a very enjoyable experience that we got to do on two different occasions, two different schools, you know. And that was the most impactful part for me, surprisingly, was dealing with the children that I, for some reason, fear when children are the most forgiving person you'd ever talk to. So that was the best experience for me by far. It wasn't the building the church. It wasn't even the community, which was excellent, but it was getting to see the gospel presented to children and to see them respond to it joyfully. So thank you.
Good morning. My name is Charlie Hess. I'll try to compose myself in order to address this whole issue, but it's very dear to my heart. Many trips later, they each touch me again, very close to my heart. I want to thank our church here, this church here. I call it our church because I have moved to California. Most people call that extremely crazy, and I would agree with you. But 16 grandchildren drew us back. And I don't know if I could explain to you how sweet it is to attend a softball game or a basketball game that I hadn't been able to do for many years. And it's been a sweet time. So I'm glad to be back here. I still call this my church, and I thank you for that. I thank you that I got to go along again on another service adventure to Suriname this time, which we had done once before about a year ago. And as we're on our way back from Suriname and one of the terminals, Chad asked the question to each along the way about how you were impacted or what it might have meant to you, what you saw in this thing. And I'm glad I had time to think about it after that moment, because at the very moment it happened, everybody else expressed what they felt like, and I expressed how I was terribly spent. Not just terribly spent, but if without God, I wouldn't have made it from day one to day two. Physically, I was really spent. But on reflection afterward, and with a little rest along the way, I came to understand a little more clearly, and I really am sure of it, of what this whole deal is every time is. It's about God. And in this case, it's one spirit, one God. this church, I came here about 3 years ago, and I was struck immediately by this prayerful, wonderful church. There's such a giving church and a sending church. I didn't know that this church at the time hadn't really been doing short-term trips for a long time. But after bringing it to the table, we've done some trips, and they've been wonderful, wonderful trips. So the opportunity to serve again right here happened right there, and I got to see right away that in the prayers of this church in sending, a lot of things happen, great things happen, wonderful things happen that only God can do. So one spirit, the groups, the church, the classes that I visit here in this church, in my class, this entire church, those prayers are to one spirit, and that one spirit is the same spirit that sent us there, who met us there, the same spirit that gives, that spirit that this church gives with, that which is phenomenal to consider. When we get there and we find that there's a church in downtown Paramaribo that had gone there to host us and cook for us, and they were singing on the rocks when we arrived, which that's pretty cool to have a group greeting you as you arrive in the boats, singing to you. Well, these people had gone there to greet us, to cook for us each day, to host for us. And then the believers in the community itself who also, their spirit, that one spirit was in this place. So on the last evening there, I kind of summed it up for me as we were there, and that what happened was we're going to dedicate this building, and Chad said, so we're going to dedicate this building this evening at, what, 8 o'clock this evening? And, well, I didn't get the memo about other than the time, and I think David missed the memo too. Well, the two of us were sitting in our little cabin telling stories or something, I don't know what. We probably weren't praying, okay? But we're telling stories and all that, and the time got to be around the time to go for this set of dedication service. Well, cool, let's go. So David and I put on our headlamps, because you don't go anyplace around there at night without a headlamp. And we put on our headlamps, and David and I stroll up the hill, this trail, to where the construction happened, which is a flat area above maybe, I don't know, 30, 40 yards away. So we walk up the hill in the jungle up to this area, and we sit down in a couple chairs, and it's just two of us. And it was, okay, we were a little bit early. Old guys can be early sometimes, okay? Because we got nothing else to do, I suppose. But we sit around, and pretty soon we see a little headlamp coming up the trail. Oh, cool, other people are coming. So one headlamp. It turns out to be Clayton, this man from Oklahoma City. And he's, what, 87, 85. He comes meandering up the hill. He takes a seat right here with us. So we're just waiting. We're hanging out. And nothing's going on. There's no other people yet. I mean, locals, nothing. It's just darkness. We'd all turn our headlamps off. We're sitting around chatting, but it's just beautiful, spectacular up there, as Chris talked about, to look up at the stars, to see this beautiful place. We can see what's right behind us, which had happened, the construction that had occurred. Nothing. And then there's music and singing out of the jungle. And it truly is the jungle, because we kept looking around, and there's no lights. As you look, there's no lights around. If one headlamp, like Clayton coming up, was, you could tell that. But there's no lights. But then here comes the singing and the music. And I thought, well, that's going to be pretty cool. They're going to march here. They're going to march all right up to this place, and we're going to dedicate this building. Well, okay, it wasn't about us and where we were. It was about where they were, and they were celebrating. Well, we finally decide to get out of our chairs and go down the trail, which, if you could envision, that building was on up a hill over this way, maybe 30 or 40 yards in the dark through the jungle. We come back down the trail over to this area where we stayed, and food and dining happened, and then there's a trail over this way, and that's where the sound is coming from. And there's some light over there we can see now. So we wander up that trail over that way, and that right there, to me, was this walking picture of the Spirit of God had showed up at this place. There's darkness all around darkness. But walking up there, it became brighter and brighter and brighter. And the music and the songs that were being sung, I may not speak the language, but I can tell the tune. And there's the glory of God is happening right up there in this place. So wonderful, wonderful. Physically, I was done. I mean, I was tired. Spiritually, I was renewed. And that's what we all need. We all need that. And let me read a verse here, and it kind of frames this situation, what I'm talking about here. This is in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Ever-increasing glory, transformed by the Lord. Sign me up. Sign me up. If you would like to participate in any of these things, this verse here expresses that very thing. One Spirit from this church. One Spirit joined us from this group that came from town to host us. The church that is in that little community. One Spirit. So if the Spirit of God is moving you to participate in one of these service adventures, join in. Praise the Lord.
So as you can see, we experience the very hand of God. The first school we went to had 120 students. The second school had around 200. So, man, that many students got to hear the gospel. We got to encourage the pastors from nearby villages and share with them about what discipleship looked like and for them to empower their people to make disciples. But as we talk about this light and darkness, and then even with Julia bringing the clay pots, I was brought to in the Word to 2 Corinthians, where Charlie just read from. And here, in the context, Paul is talking about when Moses came down from the mountain from experiencing the glory of God. And he had just been given the commandments. And he's talking about how much greater this new covenant is that we get to be a part of in sharing the gospel. And so he says, now we do not lose heart. Think about all that Paul went through, being beat, being whipped, being stoned even, and yet still pursuing the spread of the gospel. And then I personally think about in my own life when there are times that I let maybe fear of what people might think or even just the thought of being ridiculed in some way keep me from sharing the gospel. We don't face persecution, but yet look what fear does to us. Here he says we do not lose heart. He says, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of truth. He's saying that it is this open statement of truth or the gospel that is the power of Christ unto salvation. Amen? We don't have to tamper with it. We don't have to water it down. We don't have to move it in any way. We just openly proclaim it. There is truth and there's power in that truth. Do you believe that? Then that means you and I must be a part of proclaiming this. We don't lose heart. He even goes on to say later in verses 8, he says, we are afflicted in every way, crushed, perplexed, but we have not been driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. He is saying that all of these things have happened, but I will not let that lead me to despair. I will not lose heart. What has brought you to losing heart? What keeps you from proclaiming what Christ has done? You see, there is this treasure in verse 7, he says, this treasure that is in jars of clay, this treasure that we have of the gospel that we get to spread. We get to spread the greatest news that has ever come to the world with others, and yet we hide it. Oh, don't hide it. Let that light shine. It is the light of the gospel that sets people free. And so when we went to the school, we got to share the light of Jesus. We got to talk about who Christ is and what he has done. Here, you ask the question, why would you go and you build a building? Or why would you go and proclaim the gospel way down in a little unknown country called Suriname? Well, it's because they are worthy of the gospel. They are worthy. God is worthy of their worship. God is worthy of our neighbor's worship. God is worthy of the worship of every single person on this earth. Why would we hold it? Why would we keep it from them? Oh, let us be a people who will proclaim this good news. And so what is the good news? The good news is that we have a God who is so good. But there is a huge problem. And the problem is you and I are not good. We have all sinned and fall short of His glory. We have sinned. We are sinners. And because of that sin, we are separated from God. More than that, we are deserving of His wrath. We are deserving of the punishment which the Bible says, death. The wages of sin is death. We deserve to be separated from God for eternity. But God. But God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. He came and He died in our place. Someone had to die. The wages of sin was death. Jesus came to die and was our substitute. And He tells us that if we would believe in Him and what He has done, that His death was payment enough that we would be forgiven, made new, have eternal life. You can know Him. Light can come into your life. It will dispel the darkness of despair. It will change you. Oh, let us be proclaimers of this good news. And so today, if that is you, if you do not know Jesus, if you have not yet believed in Him, so much so that it has transformed you to a new, different person, I want to tell you today, it's the day of salvation. Trust Him. Call to Him. Look to Him. Believe in Jesus and what He has done. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we are grateful for the work that You have done in our lives. We are grateful for this light of the gospel. We are so thankful for this covenant that You have made with us, that we can know You. We can be forgiven of our sin. We can be transformed. We thank You for that. But Lord, we also thank You for this mission that You have given us. Do not let us be distracted from it. Oh God, forgive us when we make our life about what we can gain in this world. God, I pray that You would help us to take our eyes off of the things of this world and to put it upon You. Lord, I pray as the gospel has been shared this morning that today would be the day of salvation. I pray that there would be someone here, even right in this moment, who would sense Your calling upon their life and that they would surrender their life to You and believe in Jesus and what He has done. Oh Lord, help us to respond to You with belief and with faith. Lord, if there are others that You are raising up even right now to go on the next adventure, Lord, I pray that they would know that and that, Lord, You would give them a boldness and a courage to go. Oh, Lord, lead us, guide us, help us to